Episode 8.
I don't know why the entire industry isn't doing it. It's just such a win-win.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. Okay, aftermarketers, let's get started. I'm simply thrilled to introduce my guest today. We have Diane Larson from Larson Service in Peabody, Massachusetts. Diane, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I sure am. I would love to share my passion and ideas. Thank you for having us, Tom.
Diane Larson, owner of Larson Service in Peabody, Mass., is an industry veteran of more than 25 years. Since developing a strong team at her shop, it has allowed her to spend time sharing her experience and passion for the industry with others. Here are a few of Diane's accomplishments. She was one of the first people to take the ASE Service Consultants exam as a C1 Service Consultant. She earned her AAM, the Accredited Automotive Manager designation, in 2009. She graduated Northwood Leadership 2.0 and recently completed her AAP, the Automotive Aftermarket Professional designation. She is currently a contributing member of IATN, participant in the AskPatty.com Automotive Expert Advisor Panel, and Car Care Council's Women's Board Associate. She serves on numerous committees, including Automotive Service Association, Mechanical Operations Committee, the Auto Plus Customer Executive Council, and her local vocational school's advisory board. Sharing her passion, experience, and volunteering in the industry earned her the 2013 Female Shop Owner of the Year. It was awarded at APEX by the Car Care Council Women's Board. Her shop was also awarded Motor Age's Top 10 Shops in 2013. Now listen to Diane's excitement for her business and passion for the industry and learn what happened when she had a toothache and it changed her business. Let's go. Peabody, Massachusetts, suburb of Boston. How long you guys have been in business up there? The number of bays, techs, do you have a service advisor?
We do, actually. We have a four-bay small neighborhood shop, Carm. We have four bays, five employees, two and a half of those are technicians, and the rest are service and support people that we have. We're a small neighborhood shop. We've been around for 29 years now.
Wow.
My late husband and myself started a small business. He was a dealership technician, and we bought our old gas station in our neighborhood over 25 years ago.
And that's how you started. Now, the size of Peabody, a big suburb of Boston?
Peabody is a city about 20 miles north of Boston.
Okay.
We're a small city. Is what we're considering. So.
A small city. And I had the luxury once to come out and I believe have lunch in the gazebo.
My shop resides on a pond. I'm lucky to live on one end of the pond and my shop is on the other. Imagine building a gas station today on the side of a pond. We absolutely love our pond, and one of the things that we've been able to do is make a great waiting room out there for our clients. So we're excited to have all the snow melt from here in Boston and get out there and enjoy and see some flowers and stuff.
Yes, you have a perfect setting. So, hey, what's one thing that makes a great shop, Diane?
I think what really makes our independent shop special is our customer service. It's the most important thing that we have. I love running my shop. I love the challenges, the excitement of the shop, but it's definitely the customer service and how we are able to personally treat every customer that comes in here.
So what's one thing that has you fired up right now?
I love the changes in technology that we have in this industry. Every day that I open up my shop, something new and exciting. Today was just a perfect day in the shop. The changes and excitement that we've seen over the last 25 years, that we've seen over the last 2 years, and the lightning speed that it's come. Our small shop here just implemented the tablets that all of our technicians and service people have, and they're changing and evolving every day on how we run our shop. And it's just so, so cool that we have all this exciting stuff going on.
So you mean you went to like a paperless environment?
Some of my employees would love me to go to a paperless environment. But like I said, I've been around 25 years and trying to get that concept into my head is like, whoa, but we're getting there. So we're doing little pieces every day. And again, that is our goal, is to do away with all the paper. But some of us are going to be a little slower doing that than others.
But you are making the leap.
We are. The tablets and having our shop management and our information in everybody's hands. It's wild. It's just incredible what it does. And like I said, something that's improving each and every day.
So you took over the business after you lost your husband, and I'm sure that wasn't an easy task.
It wasn't. I did not know where my business was going to go back in 2008. John and I had a mom and pop business for years. I knew nothing about automotive industry. Started out, I had a wonderful teacher. And my late husband, I started out, I got to learn in the bays and move into the office and find out that's where I excelled with my customer service. I went to actually a convention. We believe firmly in getting all the training and education that we can back in 2008. And I met some great contacts there. And 2008 was a challenging time for a lot of people with the economy and such. And I was forced to make a change at that time. So I was in change mode by the time the economy already went. I had to learn marketing skills and how to run a business.
Yeah, that sure was a tough time of our last 10 years to have to take on that challenge.
One of the benefits I had, though, was I was already in change mode. So I had to change. I had to do something. I had to learn marketing skills. I had to learn how to run a business. So I hired a team of people that could run the business for me when I'm not here, when I'm out playing in the industry. And it's worked out wonderful. My employees are gifts.
What wakes you up from a dead sleep at 2:00 in the morning?
What wakes me up? Diane sleeps really, really well, Cobb. So there's not much that wakes me up, honey. We run our business with, and actually I was just teaching one of my service advisors this week, trying to give them full rein to make decisions on their own and stuff. And one of the things I was taught was, if it doesn't feel good in your belly, you don't do it. And that's how we run our business. If it feels good in your belly, then you do it. If it doesn't, then you don't. So it's not much wakes us. We sleep and we tell people we work our butts off and sleep very, very well.
Great, great answer. So maybe is that one of the strengths that you have as an entrepreneur, to delegate like that?
Delegation has been one of the exciting things that I've had to learn the last few years, and I love that so that I can go out and share my passion and play in the industry, learning, and it's been tough to let go, but I'm getting better and better at it.
We all have these incredible aha moments that we could look back in time and say, wow, that was a big life changer for me. Do you remember one? And if you do, tell us the story about it.
I absolutely. My aha moment with my business was back probably about 12 years ago, when I had a toothache. And my toothache bothered me. You know, 12 years ago was back 2002. And I had a toothache, and I was driving around thinking about this toothache. We didn't have cell phones back then, or I didn't anyway. So I would be driving around or whatever, and this tooth would bother me, and I'd be like, oh my God, I got to call the dentist. And then the toothache would go away. And then I'd think about it again later, and I'd be like, oh my God, I got to call the dentist. And I would never remember to call the dentist when I was near a phone. And this went on for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And then when I finally called the dentist, they said, well, we can get you in about 2 or 3 weeks. And I was like, oh, yeah, are my clients dealing this? Are they looking, going, oh my God, I got to call for an oil change. I got to call for an oil change. I got to call for an oil change. And I'm like, that's an awful lot of stress for what some of my clients to have. So we implemented our appointment program back in 2002. I think we were one of the pioneers that did that. It's the mainstay of our business right now. It's incredibly easy. I don't know why the entire industry isn't doing it. It's just such a win-win. And I would say that that is our aha moment for our job.
So tell us, now that you've got us on the edge of our seats, about the great old dentist appointment program that you're running. How does it work?
So our appointment program works just like when you go to the doctors or the dentist or your hairdresser or anywhere else. When our clients come in, we see them twice a year. We see them for a full head-to-toe check over that we do. And when they leave, they date for an appointment 6 months from now. It's fabulous. Like I said, we've been doing it for over a decade. Our clients love it. We love it. It stabilizes our business. It is a win-win for everyone.
So there's not an argument from the customer to accept that they're going to pick a date in the future and get back in there.
When we started this back in 2002, I was absolutely flabbergasted at how easy it was for the consumer to adapt to this. As we explain the program now and stuff to new clients coming in the door, they're like, oh my God, what a perfect idea. It's just a win-win. We have probably, I would say, 90% of our clients are on our appointment program so that they're already dated in. It's painless. Twice a year, we go through their car from head to toe. One of the things that our shop is so proud of is, like this year, that Boston had a horrendous winter and our consumers had so much to deal with. One of the things that they didn't have to deal with was worrying about their cars. We did not have one client on their maintenance program come to us in a tow truck. Not a dead battery, not tires worn out, not wipers that they didn't know about. Everyone's car all throughout this horrendous Boston winter was in good shape.
Great story and a great business principle to have. Okay, now let's go under the hood. What's the best advice Diane Larson's ever received?
I think it's being taught that it's all about my attitude. It's all about me. I know one of the signs that I had up here for a long time as we were struggling to start our business and get it going and, you know, a young couple with no money, like many of us started in the field and stuff and holes in the roof. I was just telling my employees about no heat and all the fun stuff was a sign that said, there's a fence in my way. I'm going over, I'm going under, but I'm going. And that's always been my motto. I'm going. We're doing it.
No doubt. Thanks for explaining what I already know about you. Diane, true differentiation brings value to the customer. So what's your differentiation at Larson Service?
Service with a smile. And that's one of the things that we, again, picked up and implemented. Well, we spent many, many years fixing cars and putting out fires. And with the appointment program, again, I want people to be treated just like you are when you walk into your doctor's or your dentist. I want to greet people by their name. I want to smile. We smile when they – I want them to feel good about calling us. There were a lot of people that we grew up with in this industry that were grumpy. And it's like, no way. You don't have to be grumpy. You know, this is a great service business. So
grumpy don't apply, right? So share one of your personal habits that contributes to your success and your energy.
Personal habits. I think it's, again, just all about attitude, calm. Eating right, taking care of yourself, definitely, but wanting to help people, wanting to sincerely help people take care of their car, teach them about it, teach my employees. I think that's what makes our business.
Anything holding you back right now?
What could be holding me back? I'm not a huge number person. I never have been a huge number person. I know that I could probably do much, much better if I worked on my business practices.
That's a very honest answer, and I'm sure many people share that with you. Any special amenities going on in the place for your customers, digital assets, TV stuff? Talk to us about your social media, your website.
Social media, I've been all over, and I love it. I spend a long time on the internet. I could spend my whole entire life probably on the internet. I love my social media. We jumped onto Facebook when it was new and young and had a lot of followers, did a competition that was fun, had a lot of followers that way. Right now, RepairPal is working wonderful for us. RepairPal is a service where when clients find us on the internet, they can have an idea of what car repair could cost them. It's something when my phone shoppers call that we use as a tool. So we direct them right back to RepairPal because we think it's such a good tool and so good for our business. So we do send them back, like I said, to RepairPal. The one of the other things that's really, really helped our small shop is I know a lot of companies use loaner cars. And we did not have loaner cars, but we've come up with a couple of ideas. One is we do supply rental cars. We don't supply them, but we offer that to our clients. So we have a local shop that does rental cars, and we'll meet them here. And that's been a big boost for our clients. We pass that information. But we also got what we call a shop vehicle. So it's not really a loaner car. It's more for the shop, but that is used anytime. For instance, I had somebody here today in a job that turned out to be a lot bigger than what she came in for. And it's just nice to say, you know what? Hey, why don't you take my shop vehicle here and go off for the day and come back? So it's almost like a loaner vehicle, but it's not something they're going to be expecting. And I don't need 17 of them here. We use it on select clients.
How does the rental thing work?
The rental is we have a local shop, and they do rentals for our clients, so they meet them right here.
Okay, so the client will pay for the rental.
Yep, the client is paying for the rental.
But you offer it as a part of your program.
Yep, and then the shop vehicle that we've just brought in this year and had all leaded up, and it's the cutest little thing. Actually, we call it the Larson Mobile, yes. Yep. And like I said, we send our clients and stuff off and that, and that's been a huge boon to the shop. So anytime we have anything that looks like it may cause us any type of stress, what who where, you've just got that extra little cushion there. And a lot of times I think that's what it's about, just being organized and using some common sense and stuff to run our business a little bit better.
I understand. Hey, what percent from an e-commerce perspective do you buy online from your suppliers?
You know, that's a question that the industry needs to get a grip on. We are getting surveys and questions on online purchasing, and I don't know if the industry understands how the questions are coming into shop owners. So my online purchasing, we've been doing forever and ever and ever. As far as I'm concerned, we buy online, but I buy directly from my parts supplier.
Right.
And we've been doing 95%. We don't pick up the phone often from that. But we don't actually buy online.
No, I know what you mean. But
okay.
But that was the essence of my question. I'm looking of your connection to your supplier.
We order online all the time.
Yeah. Okay,
but we're not shopping on the internet.
And no, I get
think,
it.
Like I said, there's a lot of surveys out on that right now, Carmen. I think a lot of people are a little... So
I think at a really high level, Diane, the discussion about buying online is shopping online. The impetus of my question is focused directly toward your major supplier.
So my parts supplier, we order 95%. We've been doing that for years and years and years. It's a win-win for all of us.
And based on your success, the rank from 1 to 11, with 1 being the highest, or your most important factor, as it relates to your own business focus and your own success. Start at the top of my list, customer experience. How would you rate that based on the reasons for your success?
Customer service and experience is what makes my business. That is definitely number one. That's what makes us different than anybody else. It's what makes us different from a dealership. It gives us the advantage. I just had a consumer in here that had come to me right from the dealership. And I said, geez, if the dealership ever gets the hang of what we know about the customer experience, we'll be in trouble. But I don't think they will. No, we're not.
great analogy. Thank you. Revenue generation.
Oh, there we go with our numbers again. So my thought on running my business, which is not a really, really great way to run my business, is you treat people right. We work our butt off. The money follows. The money follows. So
I get it. I understand. Thank you. Marketing, digital assets. How do you rank that?
I gave that a 7 because I wasn't sure, but we definitely need to bump that up. So that's going to mess up all my numbering here. And we know how good I am with numbers, remember? Actually, I'm really good with numbers, but so it is. Today, social media and advertising on the internet, that's where my best clients are coming from. They research us. They find us. You definitely. So I need to bump that up probably to a number 3.
Oh, wow. That's a big jump.
It is. It's huge. Social media, and like I said, that's where our clients are finding us. Our phone doesn't ring much anymore. They find us on the internet. They book on the internet. Sometimes I get worried on Sunday nights if it snows here in Boston, because that's when they all decide they're going to book appointments, and that's kind of fun. So different things that's something that's just come up this year and stuff, is giving people leeway to book appointments, and something we need to work on so that they're not all booking for the same Monday morning.
Got it.
Yeah.
How about maintenance sales?
Oh, maintenance sales is the brunt of my business. That is the essence of my business. Besides customer service, we have to give that a 2.
Yeah, I knew that was going to rank high when you told us about your great dentist appointment program. Technician training
is definitely very, very important. We're ranking that at number 6. My technicians stay fully trained anyway. So, I mean, it isn't a huge driving factor, but we have... They stay up on it.
Supplier relationships.
I am very lucky to live in an area where I have slews of suppliers and all happy for our business. So I put that down as a number 9.
Okay, thank you. And how about shop productivity?
Oh, absolutely. That has to be there. And again, as much fun as we have, our guys work their butts off. So all of us do. I shouldn't say our guys and girls all work our butts off. We produce. We produce from the time we walk in here. The doors open at 8:30, and we're going to give that a number 4.
Finding quality techs.
I've been very, very fortunate. I have my employees are gifts. They have fallen into my lap, and we have not had the problem with finding quality techs. With the business that we have and stuff, they seem to find us, and I've been very, very fortunate with my people.
And how about business management training?
We're giving that a number 5. We learn something. The business changes every year. We grow every year. It's business training is very important.
Thank you. And car count?
Number 3 for car count. Again, you need that there for the productivity in your sales. So, yep, we have to have cars here.
Well, you gave digital marketing assets a 3.
So we're gonna have to
make that a 7, because I know how much you love numbers.
I actually do love numbers. It's just it's just not a driving factor in my business.
Too much fun here, Diane. And exit strategy. Where would you rank that?
It pops into my head every once in a while, Tom. But you know, just having too much fun here. Yep, absolutely. I love coming in my business. That's an 11. That's probably, was that how many numbers we had?
Yeah, you're good. You're really good. Hey, look, let's talk about all the great things you've done in the industry. And based on the bio that we introduced this podcast in talking about everything you've done, what can you look back, and I know you're currently extremely active, but look back and think what's been the pinnacle of all the things you've been doing for the industry?
One of the most exciting things that I did was young in my mechanical operations committee for ASA. We were invited to Skills USA, the finals out in Kansas City. It was one of my first trips with the mechanical operations committee, and they invited us to come out there and be judges. And I was just blown away by the youth. Enough I was inspired to come back and join my vocational advisory council. And again, out of 5 of us, 3 of us are on different schools, vocational advisory councils here, and very active on it. It's not like we go and sit and stuff. It's very active. But seeing the youth and stuff that bring coming into the industry was a huge turning point for me. My employees here are all very young. I've had no problem hiring young people. And I think that was from my experience with the students out at Skills USA.
Excellent story. I'd love some background on the C1 Service Consultant test. You were one of the first to take the ASC Service Consultants exam. How'd that come about?
Anytime they came up with a new test, actually I took my parts person one first because I wasn't sure if I could pass any of my mechanical ones at the time. So I figured the parts person one would be good. So I did pass that. And as soon as they brought out the C1 test and stuff, we're all for ASC certification. I think it's a great thing for the industry. So we hopped on and took it as soon as it came out.
Tell me about the impact Ask Patty may have on your business.
Ask Patty, we joined back in probably 2008, 2009, and Ask Patty is a company that certifies female-friendly shops. Being a woman-owned shop, we didn't have as a problem with learning any of the training that they put you through and stuff to be female-friendly, to teach you how to work with females and males and stuff, both in your company and with your customers. So Ask Patty, but one of the main reasons that I jumped on to Ask Patty was that's when we were getting into social media, which again we have determined is so important today in our marketing. In social media, and Ask Patty was very, very influential in getting our ratings up at that time.
What's the percentage of female customers that you have?
I would say ours is a 50-50 mix of females and males. And everybody gets treated exactly alike in our shop. We have as many males that are here for education as females. And I, again, with numbers, I've never tracked it, but I think I have half as many clients that are males as females that come into my shop.
Excellent. Well, I have to commend all the work you've done in the industry and the seminars that you go to now. You say that you take your team, your entire team or a portion of your team with you to conferences?
I do. We just got back from a conference in Kansas City where they have great barbecue and beer, I have to say, yes, and the best technical training that we've ever gone to. We're excited to. So one of my lead technicians went to that. This month we're headed down to ASA, a fly-in in Washington, D.C. That's something that I'll be going to on my own for a couple of days. And I'll come back and take one of my technicians, and we're going out to Auto Mechanica. The training is phenomenal. I know we have online training. We have local night training. But there is nothing like going to a conference where you can network with other shop owners and technicians and talk car stuff and relax and be focused on learning. It's the best learning environment that I've been into, and yes, I want to share that with my employees. My service manager will be going out to Detroit with me this year. She'll be getting her AMI, our graduation, cap and gown. I'm just so proud to have her out there. I love sharing my passion with my employees. I love giving them the tools and stuff to succeed.
Well, that's great that they support you and they say, sure, we'll go. Is that how it is?
Mostly they are willing to, like I said, I have a young team here, and mostly my service advisor, who actually isn't my service advisor, she's my ASO. Taylor is a aspiring shop owner is what we came up with her title. She would like my job. She's been with me a few years, and she's just, again, a gift as my employees are. She's got a small child, so and she's traveled with me and gone on trips, so it's a matter of finding childcare. And my employees are eager to learn and stay up on the industry. Like I said, I'm very, very fortunate, and I know that, on having good people.
That's great. That is just great that you could say that about your team. Diane, what's a big concern or threat to your business right now?
The change in technology, I was concerned about it. I'm not anymore. I actually think that fixing cars today, Com, is much easier for us than it's ever been. Fixing cars with the internet that we have, fixing cars back in the 80s and 90s when we were truly independent, when you picked up the phone and called somebody, one of your friends at a local dealer to find out when you got snagged on something, when you spent nights and nights out here trying to solve a problem, when we were truly independent. We are not anymore. With tools like IATN and Identifix and the networking, we've been members of IATN since 1998. That has been it's been enormous on both our learning to run our business and our technical networking. But we with the internet, and like I said, the information resources that we have out there, all the information that we have to the OE's resources now It's incredible. We can fix cars. It's much easier.
So where do you see the industry in the next 3 to 5 years?
3 to 5 years. Cars are being built better. We're promoting that with our maintenance program and stuff. We're shooting for 300,000 mile cars, which we've never been able to do here in New England. We had a threat of rust and corrosion here in New England that we've been dealing with. We had to find a way to combat that. We have. So once we've gotten over that, we do a rust corrosion spray. And now that we're able to save the people's cars from rusting, which we've seen, we've been doing that about 8 years, I can keep the engines running. And it's just so cool to see that. That also happens to be at the same time that people are keeping their cars longer. So it works out really, really well for all of us.
Great. Before I ask you the last question, I have to ask you this. How did you survive this incredible winter you had up there?
Oh, my God. There was just so much snow. It was, like, way over my head, like, for weeks. Like, I mean, the roads were, like, down one lane. So you just had to wait. And it was just incredible. Actually, this week, we're into what? We're into April 1st here today. I can finally park cars in my parking lot here. I had lost half of my shop parking lot. It's just been an amazing winter here in Boston. Amazing.
Well, I'm glad you got through it. And yes, there's only, I just can't wait for that the gazebo to open.
Me too.
Okay. Hey, Diane, last question here for you. Give us some words to live by.
Words to live by in my shop. One of the mottos that we definitely go with and that I love my shop does, shit happens. It's how you handle it. Absolutely. So stuff happens and I love watching my team pull together. If there's any concern or any problem, instead of getting upset about it, it's like, okay, let's figure out how we're going to solve this and solve that. So any challenge that comes up, that's one, but you know, it's all a matter of attitude. It's just all a matter of attitude. We have total control over what goes on in our heads and whether we smile or not.
Well, thanks so much for spending this half hour to 40 minutes with me. I've so enjoyed it. You're so full of energy. And I know that on a daily basis, you have fun in kind of your, as part of your middle name.
Oh, that's the other thing I need to leave with. Yeah, our shop model. Be like a duck. Be like a duck. If we do that, we have fun, but we work our butts off. So be like a duck is something somebody taught me years ago. When you see a duck, like, just floating along and stuff, you don't realize that those little feet are going like crazy underneath. And that's what our shop is. So no matter what's going on in our shop, I don't know, something catches on fire, something's falling off a lift, who knows what, who, where is exciting going on, which doesn't happen, I'm kidding. But anyway, if anything ever happens, you pick up the phone, you have a smile on your face, somebody walks in the door, it's quiet, we smile. We're like ducks. We're working our butt off, but yep, all is calm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.